You don't really know what you're doing. You're like one of those European pop bands that sing in English but don't actually know what any of the lyrics.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Come to you from the Kurt Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to our top stories this hour. I'm looking forward to the 100-degree heat. I'm excited for that. So we don't get it that often. So everybody just enjoy. Sit back and enjoy. Okay, I've got a lot of news to get to here, but as you know, I like to keep you on the cutting edge of wokeism. Because if you're anything like me, you don't ever want to say anything that offends somebody. And so, just to make sure that you are apprised of the very latest in how to be a decent human being, we do have today's cancel culture update.
This is your cancel culture update.
And I keep getting messages, Sean, from texters, emailers, people who call me on my landline.
Yeah.
And they ask me all the time, does Sean have a recorded thing that he hits for canceled, or does he do it live every single time? And I thought, since we have such a good relationship with our listeners, so we should give them a behind the scenes glimpse. So,
sure.
Which is it?
All right. Well, here we go. The big reveal. The curtain's opening.
Yeah.
It's a pre-recorded thing I made.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's pre-recorded.
No, when you say canceled.
Oh, I thought you meant when I say the intro.
No.
Oh, yeah. When I say canceled every day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's live.
Those are live.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the magic of, you know, we're living on the edge here with live radio.
Oh, did I misunderstand you?
Yeah, maybe you weren't paying attention. I think it's more you weren't paying attention.
Maybe I browned out.
Probably did. I heard that could happen in a heat wave. Okay, so anyway, we do have today's cancel culture update, and this comes from Amherst College in Massachusetts, where they have released a list of words, not making this up, they've released a list of words to their students and faculty that can be considered violent language, and they have instructed everybody to stop. They created an anti-violence resource called the... Wait, where are my woke word dice? They called it the... Prevention Advocacy and Resource Center. So they've come up with specific information and advice to students and staffs. They've given a list of words and idioms, which they say are violent. And then they have suggested some alternatives for everybody. So one of the phrases, if somebody's doing a great job, then what do you say to them? You say, oh, man, you are killing it. Nice job. No, killing it is violent. And it is considered oppressive language. Possible alternatives. They give a list of alternatives. The possible alternatives to killing it are great job or awesome. And the explanation, if someone is doing well, we don't need to equate that to murder. So killing it, you have been
canceled.
Okay, got some more. It's kind of a long list. You're gonna need a lozenge by the end of this one, Sean.
Okay.
If you want to maybe take a chance on something, give it a go. You say, I'll take a shot at that. Hey, I'll take a stab at that. No, that is violent, oppressive language. The alternatives are, I'll give it a go, or I'll try. And then the explanation listed, these expressions, take a shot at and take a stab at, these expressions needlessly use imagery of hurting someone or something. And so, take a shot at you have been. If somebody is considered very sensitive, somebody who is usually on the far left, quite woke, you say something that really upsets them, bothers them, well, that gives them a trigger warning. Oh, no, 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 no! You cannot say trigger warning. That is oppressive language now. Possible alternatives? Content note or drop in. I don't know if I get this. Let me read the explanation. The word trigger has connections to guns for many people. We can give the same heads up using language less connected to violence. Now, I don't like, personally, I don't want to go off track here, but I don't like that they use the phrase heads up in their explanation, because I find that to be offensive to my friends who have been decapitated. So, yeah, but again, I'm more sensitive than most. So, trigger warning, you have been
canceled.
Is this getting old? Okay, we got two more here. If there's kind of a common way that things are done, it's called a rule of thumb. And that is oppressive language. You should change it to general rule. And the reason is the expression rule of thumb comes from an old British law that allowed men to beat their wives with sticks no wider than their thumb. Now, I never knew that. I bet none of you ever knew that. So none of us were using rule of thumb in that way. But still, rule of thumb. You have been.
This has been.
No, 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 no.
No, no, no. That was a mistake. See,
yeah,
this, is live. This is,
yeah,
live.
This is live. That's
I
proof
also
it.
Have been canceled.
Okay. And finally, see, and then you play the close right after you say canceled here.
Huh?
Okay. And finally, I remember when my wife and I first started dating. Our first date was a sorority dance. Our second date, we went to the Pike Place Market Street Fair on Memorial Day weekend 38 years ago. And then for our third date, because I wanted to, I thought I did pretty well on the first two dates. And I wanted to establish myself as not just a sensitive guy, but, you know, kind of a, you know, the guy who does things that make girls happy. And so I thought, well, what if we make a little picnic? And I'll get a picnic basket, and I'll make us a couple sandwiches. And we went to the Arboretum, and I spread out a blanket, and I very with great gallantness, that's not a word, as gallant as I could, nah, that's not one either. Anyway, I carried the blanket and the picnic basket. We spread out the blanket. This is pre-heroin needles, by the way, in our parks. You could actually, and this would be what we would call the olden days. Back in the olden days, you could go to a park in Seattle and not get stabbed with a used heroin needle. I know that seems impossible. And I know you think, no, that's like going back to prehistoric times. No, you actually could do that in my lifetime. Anyway, so I spread the blanket, and we had a little picnic lunch. And I think I was in pretty good shape after that, after those first three dates. But picnic must be banned from our language as well. It is oppressive. We change it. The suggested alternative is outdoor eating. Now, you see, I guarantee you, if I had said to this girl I had a crush on 38 years ago, if I said, hey, do you want to go out on Saturday afternoon and I will prepare an outdoor eating for us? Well, she'd say, I'm done with this loser. But when I said, I'll prepare a picnic for us, she melted. Now, the reason the term picnic is often associated with lynchings in the United States. No, it's not. It is. They say it's often associated with lynchings. Not one person associates picnic with lynchings. They said white spectators were said to have watched lynchings while eating, referring to the eating as picnics. But nobody connects it to that. So I don't even know that we should. Well, yeah, we should, because we all want to be better people. I know that. And so, picnic, you have been
canceled. This has been a Cancel Culture Update. Now back to your regularly scheduled program.
You know what? Instead of calling a picnic outdoor eating, I'm just going to add one syllable to picnic, as Yogi Bear would, especially in this fabulous crossover between Yogi Bear and the Flintstones.
Now you see why I'm smarter than the average Fred Flintstone boomer.
And then right here, Fred and Wilma, they have a picnic basket sitting on a table at a campsite, and Yogi and Boo Boo are sitting on a branch in the tree right above the picnic table, and Yogi somehow, I don't know how, and they don't explain how, Yogi has gotten a large rock up on the branch with him and Boo Boo, and he drops the rock onto the end middle plank on one side of the picnic table, and the picnic basket is on the end of that middle plank at the other end. And so, like a seesaw, the rock knocks the plank down on one side, and it flings the picnic basket up on the other side to Yogi's waiting arm.
The fastest way I know to get a picnic basket.
There we go, picnic. Fred, that's what I'm going to do. Oh, wait, what's Wilma saying?
This gets good.
I love that sound effect, too. When you shake your head in disbelief. I wish that we made the sounds that are made in cartoons. You know, the when you run off fast, or the shake head sound.
Oh, it figures.
Okay, so anyway, I'm not going to change it to outdoor eating. I'm just going to call it a picnic. I'm going to just add a syllable like Yogi. All right, and with that as tedious and way too long prelude, let's get to this hour's big lead.
The big lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
Yeah, I got a sincere question for you. Because I get outraged at a lot of things, and it's always passionate. I don't ever rant and rave about something that I don't really care about. These are things that I care about because I think that life and our world and our society are changing in ways that are not always good, and I do care about the world in which we live. But it evolves. You know, years ago, when they were changing all the school mascots, or the Washington football team when they were the Redskins, you know, I would always say, well, why do we need to change all this? And we just found out this morning that Renton High School, which for how long has Renton High School been around? Probably 80 or 100, forever. Renton High School, they've been the Indians. And we just found out this morning that Renton High School, and it's part of a mandate in our state to change Native American names at high schools. And so Renton High School is no longer going to be the Indians. They're changing it to Red Hawks. I think it was yesterday or the day before, Marysville Pilchuck announced they will no longer be the Tomahawks. And I don't know if they've announced what that's going to be. And so, you know, there's a part of me that says, what do I care? I didn't go to those schools, and what do I care? Why is that something I should get all worked up about? But I do have a counterbalancing thought that I did want to get your take on. So we found out that in Milton, they have a 9/11 memorial in a park in Milton. And as part of that 9/11 memorial, they have this little metal sculpture of an angel. And somebody has complained, saying an angel is a religious symbol, and a religious symbol in a public park is not allowed. And so the city attorney in Milton has let the guy who volunteers to be the metal sculpture, or the, I'm sorry, the 9/11 memorial administrator. And he said, yeah, you got to take down the metal sculpture of an angel. And so here's the dilemma. If I say, well, I don't care about the school nicknames, I don't care about the evolving things in society, but there are people on the other side who are making up caring and being offended. No, there's nobody who's offended by a metal sculpture of an angel that is part of a memorial in Milton, Washington. There's not one person who's offended by that. But we have a lot of people in our society whose lives are so meaningless and empty that instead of doing something productive with their life, they just try to tear down things that are important to other people. And so nobody's sincerely offended by the angel, but they're going to take it down. And so I'm thinking, well, if I say, I don't care about the school nicknames, I do care about the angel. But if we who hold on to things that are traditional and you know, somewhat old-fashioned, family-oriented in our society, and if we stop caring, then the people who pretend to be offended on the other side, the people who make up offense so that they can fill some gigantic void in their life, they're the ones who are complaining about the school nicknames. But they're also complaining about the angel sculpture. And they're complaining about the statue of George Washington at the University of Washington. They're complaining about Thomas Jefferson and Abraham Lincoln statues. And they're complaining about everything. And if those of us who have a little more level head and say, well, some of these things I care passionately about and some of them I don't. But if we let our guard down and we say, that's not worth getting worked up over, there are going to be people who pretend that they're worked up about things. And we're just going to see one side of the spectrum, and it is the radical left side of the spectrum. And they're going to just start tearing down everything. From statues to angel sculptures to school nicknames, and on it will go. And I do think that it's worthwhile that those of us who hold on to a little bit of things that are traditional and that have meaning to families, I think that we've got to make sure we're not just swamped by the people who are not sincerely offended but are filling a void in their life. We've got to be careful about that. And that is your Big Lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
We're going to check the news for you here at the bottom of the hour. We've got stuff on the critical race theory in our schools. Lots of feedback from our opening monologue a couple of hours ago. I will respond to that as well. All of that straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. I'll give you the latest on the battle for our children's minds with the racist critical race theory agenda that's being pushed in the schools to brainwash our kids. I'll get to that in a minute. I was talking at the beginning of the show today that Alex Berenson, former New York Times writer, who's been writing about COVID and vaccinations a lot, he had some interesting stats today that four times as many young people, so we're talking 12 to 17, have been hospitalized because of the vaccine about 200 out of every 100,000 kids who are vaccinated end up in the hospital. There are only 50 out of every 100,000 kids who have gotten COVID end up in the hospital. So you are four times more likely to be hospitalized because of the vaccine than the disease that it's supposed to protect you from. If you are a healthy young person, if you're 12 to 17 years old. And I said, I don't understand why Jay Inslee and all these politicians, I do understand why everybody in the media is pushing vaccines for children. When the stats are in and it's four times more dangerous to be vaccinated than unvaccinated. And it's because the pharmaceutical companies have hundreds of billions of dollars on the line and they have worked feverishly to control the narrative. And so the media, the politicians, everybody is pushing for the pharmaceutical companies right now. I said, let's look at stats. Let's look at data. And then I talked about... Last night, there was a triple drive-by shooting in Rainier Beach in Seattle, part of this horrible 2021 for murders and shootings in Seattle and King County. Two young men are in Harborview with life-threatening critical injuries, and a third was shot in the leg. And in our area, according to law enforcement, it is mostly black and brown people who are getting shot. And, you know, what we heard last week was Dow Constein said he's going to spend millions to solve the violence problem by hiring
life coaches.
Yeah, life coaches, which is going to do nothing. Just like Jenny Durkin is spending $150,000 a year on a street czar who's doing nothing. The problem's getting much, much worse with a guy who's an admitted former pimp. Who Jenny Durkin makes $150,000 a year street czar, and with him in that job, the murder rate continues to skyrocket in Seattle and King County. And I said, look, if your goal is to actually solve problems, you got to bring back stop and frisk, which is not unconstitutional. The Supreme Court ruled on it. Earl Warren wrote the majority decision. Earl Warren did more for civil rights for blacks in America than any Supreme Court justice in our history. And he said it's not unconstitutional. And I just want to give you one stat on that. And I had people who said, I thought you were a libertarian. No, I'm a common sense person. I lean some ways depending on, you know, what the subject is. But let me just tell you about in New York City. There were 1,000 people a year were getting murdered in the early 90s. And then David Dinkins started to expand the police force. They adopted community policing that included stop and frisk, as continued by Giuliani and Bloomberg. Get this. They went from a peak of 31 murders for every 100,000 people in 1991. And after they did stop and frisk in the next 20 years, it went from 31 murders per 100,000 to 3. 90% of kids, mostly black and brown young people's lives, were saved because of stop and frisk. Now, if you're a family member of a kid who was a kid and is now an alive adult, you're probably pretty happy with that policy. And all I'm saying is, I wish we had politicians who had the guts to say, hey, the vaccine's more dangerous than the COVID for kids. Let's not push to vaccinate kids. Let's be... You know, Jay Inslee is not the party of science. He's not about data. He's about shilling for pharmaceutical companies. And then you have Dow Constein, Jenny Durkin. They're not about saving lives and reducing violence. They're about...
Life coaches.
No, but that doesn't do anything. It's making things worse. Life coaches and street czars. Things are getting worse. I'm just saying, if I was in charge, if I was governor... I would do things that actually make a difference, that actually help, that actually save the lives of the black and brown people who are getting murdered at record rates in our region. Because if that's your goal, you have to actually do things that help you achieve that goal. Okay, in our schools, you got critical race theory. Seattle's Christopher Rufo has become the leading exposer of just how awful critical race theory is, how racist it is, how it's designed to turn children against children based on their skin color. So he went on MSNBC And I don't know why, but he went on with Joy Reid, who loves critical race theory. And I'll play you just the intro, but then you got to hear another segment of this.
You and I started off on a little bit of a Twitter beef. I talked about you. I quoted you in an article that one of our great journalists here at NBC had quoted you in a piece, and I quoted that on TV. And then you tweeted that you wanted to come on the show and said, you know, I didn't have the courage to put you on. Now, I will just note that Twitter is a hyperbole zone. So, you know, whatever. It's all water under the bridge. But I just want to just get to a couple of little factual things. Why would I need courage to have you on? Are you like an expert in, you know, race or racial history? Are you a lawyer? Are you a legal scholar? Is that part of your background?
Yeah, I'm a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute, where I'm running their initiative on critical race theory. And the reason that I reached out on Twitter to you, and I appreciate you.
That's how it started out. But then listen where it quickly goes, as they're there to have a conversation. You know, he's there to present his side. She can present her side. But she did not want to hear another side.
I mean,
You played my highlight reel. Give me a chance to respond.
And you want to stuff it all into critical race theory, right?
What I don't think is right is that forcing eight-year-olds in Cupertino, California, to deconstruct their racial identities
That's
and then rank themselves according to power and privilege. It's intersectionality theory, which was invented
That's
by Kimberly Crenshaw.
That's intersectionality. It's a separate thing.
Which is part of critical race theory.
No, it's not, dear.
You had her on your show. You know this.
Yeah, she invented both things.
And here's the bottom line, Joy.
She invented both things.
What you've done in tonight's segment is exactly what I'm fighting against. I'm fighting against the manipulation of language. I'm fighting against language.
You're fighting against wokeness, and you don't like corporate wokeness, etc. I get it.
Can you believe that? She will not be quiet for 2 seconds to hear a dissenting view.
I get it. With subversive content, because otherwise you just say whatever you want, and then you back away from it, and you dance around it.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. Parents all over this country, they know what's happening in schools. They know what's happening in their public institutions. And you're seeing people revolt against this divisive identity politics. And you can dance all you want, but you're not going to stop people from understanding what's happening in their classrooms.
I actually appreciate that you said that, because, Christopher, what you basically, and you admit it yourself, that you've taken all of these sort of wokeness moments, corporate wokeness, corporate sort of woke money, woke capital, the things that annoy conservatives, and you stuffed it all into the name critical race theory. It's really like it's like Christopher Rufo theory.
Everyone's tired of being told how guilty they should feel, how horrible they are because of their skin color, or how helpless they are and how bitter they should feel because of their skin color. And that's what's going on in the corporations. That's what's going on in the schools. It is a very racist agenda. And I fight against racism. Okay, quick time out here, and then we'll count down our favorite sound bites of the day. Awesome audio is coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. And down the stretch we come. What a day. What a day. Got a Friday spectacular already in the works for you tomorrow. Don't you miss it. All right, before we cut out of here, let's count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
Uh-oh, a teacher in Iowa. She likes critical race theory, but the governor of Iowa has signed a bill that prohibits that racist curriculum from being taught in the classroom. So the teacher did what all good teachers do when they are upset with something. She went on TikTok.
This is what's... Today is the first time our country has recognized Juneteenth as a national holiday, and yet I'm getting ready to go back to school in the fall, and my governor has put into place some ridiculous legislation that many governors across the country have put into place, such as I can't teach anything divisive, I can't teach critical race theory, and I can't teach about racial equity. This is at all public schools, colleges, and universities. So, teachers, in the past, we've been activists. Last year, we really need to stand up and do what's right for our kids right now. So, this is a call to action, teachers.
Call to action. Oh, and one other thing. they are going to say the Pledge of Allegiance every day in her school. Oh, she hates that.
The other thing that my governor has mandated for next year is that every classroom, it's mandatory that we all have an American flag, and it is mandatory that we all do the Pledge of Allegiance every morning. You're going to be hearing from me a lot next year.
Yeah, why would we want something that would actually unify kids? That's crazy talk. Remember Novalee? She spoke up at a school board meeting last week, a 13-year-old girl, about critical race theory. She was back before the school board because they have a policy at her school where biological boys can share the girls' bathroom and locker room, and she spoke up about that at her school board meeting.
If I get knocked unconscious, I don't just stop being a girl because you don't know what my preferred pronouns are. Being a girl is not all in my head. Boys who identify as girls are no different from boys who identify as boys, except in their feelings about themselves. But feelings are not why we have separate bathrooms. We have separate bathrooms because of what our bodies do in them. Bodies matter. Calling girls.
By the way, I said she was 13. She's 9 years old. This is a 9-year-old girl.
Girls bigots because they don't want to use the toilet in a stall next to a boy or get undressed next to a boy is cruel and wrong. It is embarrassing enough for a girl to change a pad knowing all the other girls can hear the crinkle of the packaging. But telling her that she must be okay doing it in the presence of boys because their preferred pronouns are she, her? How evil can you be? Girls' bathrooms do not exist to validate identities.
Novalee, 9 years old. Okay, and then, ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States, Joe Biden, he was asked about a timeline for relief in our country.
One related to what again? And you said when people are waiting for relief.
Yes. I got them. $1.9 trillion relief so far.
Why is he whispering? Now, this is a guy who is clearly cognitively losing it. In fact, he played that card a couple of times today. He was asked about businesses that can't find workers these days because they're getting too big a handout.
Asking me, well, you know, guess what? Employers can't find workers. I said, yeah, pay them more. This is an employees bargaining chip now. What's happening?
There's something seriously wrong here. Something seriously wrong. When he finished remarks at one event, he folded up his notebook, he walked away from the podium, and Kamala Harris had to grab his arm and whisper it to him because he hadn't mentioned this horrible, tragic condo collapse down in Florida. So that's when he had to reverse field and say, oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Again, helicopter.
One more. Will you travel to Florida, sir?
Can we ask you about Florida, what you've learned?
Oh, yes, I apologize. Yes, thank you, my president.
Kind of left because Kamala told him you got to go back and talk about Florida because he just didn't know. He was also very confused by his teleprompter. He was talking about a police chief, didn't know if it was a man or a woman, thought maybe the name was Mary, then found it was something else. He didn't know if the police chief was in Baltimore or Baton Rouge, and it was all on the teleprompter. He just couldn't get it.
Police Chief Murray of the Baltimore, Police Chief Mary, Police Chief Murphy, Paul of Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
He said Baltimore at the beginning, and then he ends up on Baton Rouge. That one is really weird.
Police Chief Murray of the Baltimore, Police Chief Mary, Police Chief Murphy, Paul of Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Murphy, comma, Paul. I don't know. I don't know how it was written on the teleprompter, but we are watching someone in a tremendous state of decline. And even people in the administration, in the White House, and even his supporters recognize that. This is not up for much debate anymore. And he did this a few weeks ago. He keeps calling Alcohol, Fire, and Tobacco, ATF, which is like the, or vice versa. He keeps confusing those letters.
It means confirming my outstanding nominee for to lead the AFT, excuse me, the ATF.
That's another thing that happens when you are sliding mentally. You do start inverting things that you read. And I know that because my mom had a long goodbye. Okay, I got to get out of here. The Tom and Curly's show is coming up next. And I will see you back here tomorrow at high noon. God bless you in these crazy times. Ado.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.